the Armed Forces Remembrance Day, where we get to honor our troops individually and collectively. And we at Script Talk with Similoluwa are showing up for it to honor our gallant officers, both living and dead. Now, for Nigeria, our story has been that of an internal battle against terrorists, militants, kidnappers, and some other unscrupulous elements yet to be identified or tagged by the government. And like the internal war they're grappling with, there is yet another war they fight, and that is the mental health war. Talking about war, some of us have only needed to read about it, and it is better left that way because nobody dares to experience war and remain the same. Even reading about it can be quite traumatic. How much more a life experience of witnessing bloodshed, dead bodies, mutilations, wailing children, raped women. Anyway guys, tonight you have the privilege of listening to a soldier's heart on mental health and how they manage, or if they manage their mental health properly, and also what you can do to help out in dealing with this mental health war or mental war. Good evening guys, how are you doing? This is Script Talk with Similoluwa. Without further ado, let's dive right into the show. Just give me a drink and I'll be right back with my guest for the evening. So with me this evening is Hassan. Hassan, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
All right, so let's just dive straight into the questions. Let's start by knowing a little more. Why did you join the armed forces? What was your motivation behind that?
Okay, thank you very much. I will start by saying that my motivation, I got it from my dad. My dad really motivated me, and some of the military personnel who fought the Ecomoc War. That is Liberia and Sierra Leone. Mm. I was born and brought up in the barracks, and then whenever they go to Liberia or Sierra Leone, coming back, the kind of morale and view you always go and come back with, you know, really inspired me, you know. You need to see when they were going for those operations, you know. They were going for those operations, and then it is not a jamboree or party. They were going there to fight. And when you see them going, they were happy. There was no fear in them. They knew that when they go, they will come back. And definitely, some of them didn't come back, you know.
Yeah.
And some of them came back. And some of them didn't come back completely, as a full, complete body, the way they went. But, you know, whenever they come, everybody will be celebrating there. People will be happy, you know. And then I was growing up, seeing them going, seeing them training, you know. From there, I said, no, when I grow up, I'll be one of these people. So that was how I got my inspiration and then the motivation to become a military personnel.
So your dad was a military personnel?
Yes, my dad was in the army.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I'm in the Navy.
Wow. Well, tell us, have you ever been to a war zone as an officer?
Yes. Yes, I'm almost 15 years in the service now. I've been to Operation Zama Lafia, I told you. I've been to Operation Safe Haven in Jos. I've been in Niger Delta around 2009, you know, that period. The place was tense, you know. So, but thank God, I'm still alive, still working, and I'm still strong, still pushing.
Wow. So, well, tell us about your experience. What was your experience like?
If a military man should tell you about his experience, you know, it's not something that is going to be interesting to you for you to hear in the course of either his training or during the operations, you understand? We lost close friends, you understand? We lost close friends and the colleagues that were with us today. In the next minute, the person will be gone, you know. And then there are so many things that the experience is not something to talk about. It's a very difficult one, you know. When you lost somebody that is very close to you, you know how it is, you know. And then it's not that when you lost like 3, 4, 5 people or 10, they will ask you people to go back. You will continue, you know. So that is how it is. And because of the training, we have learned to endure those kind of situations. You know, we motivate ourselves, we encourage ourselves. You know, it's only a coward that will go to a battlefield, and then when you see people die, you run away.
Sure.
We've been trained and we've taken oaths to defend this country, to defend the nation. So when we are there, we just zero it. If God brings us back, fine. If God says we are not coming back, we don't have anything to say. It's not by our power. Some of us go once, twice, and we are still alive. Some people go once and they didn't come back.
Yeah.
It's not that God is better than them, but just it's God's protection.
Wow. So obviously, I mean, despite the fact that you have the training, it doesn't still mean that you're not still human. And that means that, I mean, nobody goes to see that type of thing and comes back normal. Sorry for using that word.
I understand. That is why sometimes when we come back like this, they used to keep us. We go for rehab.
Oh, okay.
They take us to, they send psychology. Sometimes medical doctors come, you know, psychologically. So because of the trauma, they check us for, like, maybe they keep us in a private place, like the way they do this COVID-19 quarantine.
Yes.
You know, they will keep you away from people for, like, a month.
Mm.
The people that have serious cases, you know, they keep them more than 1 month or two. So, but when they notice that you are getting it together and then you can go back to the society, they will now release you to go. But they don't always push you to the society immediately when you come back from operation. They need to keep you in a closed door to check you, to monitor you, and to see whether you have been affected, you know, psychologically because of the trauma. So they'll keep you before you can now join in.
So Hassan, how effective is this rehabilitation thing on our own
veterans? Say again.
How effective is the rehabilitation?
Yeah. This Nigeria. You know, as far, I would like to say, the previous government, I would say, they didn't do more. Like this present government, this present administration has been trying. They have been trying very well because there have been a lot of changes. Are you getting me?
Okay.
And in terms of welfare and in terms of care, you understand?
Yeah.
I'm not a politician, but when we see the truth, we should have to see it. During the previous government, I know how we've suffered, you know. Sometimes people don't even care about you, you know. Mm. People don't even want to know how you even manage to even come back. Sometimes when you are coming back, they will just even give you pass. You can go and see your people. That's why we have cases of people coming back from operation. You hear somebody has gone to the barracks to kill one or two people.
Wow.
Because he has not been properly taken care of.
Mentally, right?
But now, presently, basically now, there is no way you come back from an operation and they will allow you to just go and join people in the society or people in the barracks, you understand? But I have colleagues that are, it's like they were even going, they're even going crazy to some level. So they have to, now they are okay, they are very fine. They are, even play the videos or when they come back, they will be laughing.
Wow.
And I need to do this one, and I need to do this, you know. So, thank God, things are getting better now. You know, things are getting better.
So, but does that mean that they come out clean after the rehabilitation?
Say again.
Does that mean everybody comes out clean after the rehabilitation? There's no form of...
It's not everybody. There's already some people, their cases is already... So they will leave them there. They will just be managing them like that. Now some people up till now, they are still managing them. Some of them, because of the sound of the noise of the gun and all that, they don't even hear up till now clearly. They don't. Their ears don't have been affected.
All right. So one last question before the final question. How has your welfare package improved? And by welfare package, sorry to cut you, by welfare package, I mean not just the financial aspect, but also the social welfare and all of that.
Okay, are you asking me based on the operation side or generally the service? As in,
you can tell us both operation and then the general service.
No, it has improved. It's not that, I'm not saying we are enjoying, but it has improved compared to how it was before.
Okay.
You understand? Now, sometimes, was it 2016? No, 2014, 15.
Yes.
You know, they would normally say, okay, they are paying for 1,000 naira for feeding per day.
Mm.
Now, that 1,000 naira for feeding per day, they will give you like 30,000 naira or so for you to feed for the period of that 1 month. That is your RCA.
Mm.
Now, instead of you getting that for 1,000 naira per day, they will now give 500 naira.
Wow.
Now, that 500 naira, you will not even get it that per day.
Hmm.
You know, sometimes you spend 3-4 days without seeing the money.
Hmm.
Are you getting me?
Yeah.
So some people that are not even in the field are the ones squandering the money.
Hmm.
It is what they feel like. It is what they want to spend the money. Now, somebody has not fared well, and then is in the battlefield. There is no way you can even get something to even buy. Like, let me say, you like it, like biscuit or snack that you hold to keep yourself. It's bush. That thing is not a city. That thing is desert. That, like, Maiduguri is desert. So part of Jos is forest. So you understand? You spend more than 3 weeks even to get water. Because that is the only basic thing you need at that time is water.
Wow.
You know? The enemy now, they have their own logistics. They have their own way of getting their own things. You know, they will come out stronger than you.
Mm.
You know, Nigerians are just there. They don't know what is happening. You know, they feel maybe these people are powerful or stronger more than they are. But it's not so. You know, just because the management is very poor at that time. But now, any cover they release, they will make sure the cover gets to the individual. We have our superiors that want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're getting your money. Hope you are feeding well. They will come once in a while to check on you people. How are you people doing? How is your feeding? How is everything? How is your vehicles? How are you people going? You know, they come and check, you know. Only coming to check men in the field is motivation.
Yeah, true.
You understand? But when you abandon them, you don't even care about them. They feel they will be demoralized.
True.
You understand?
True.
So, like, I can narrate it. Like, the chief of naval staff now has been to the degree, like, twice to see the men.
Mm.
You understand? Only his visit will motivate them.
Yeah. Wow.
So, that is just it. It's not money. No, now we have enough.
No, really?
We have enough now. There's not enough. We have enough now.
Okay.
We cannot even take fight to them. Because we don't have it.
Yeah.
Now we think they were even looking for them. They are the one wrong now. You understand? So, seriously, this federal government, I'm not saying. I'm not giving them 90% to 100%, but at least I'm giving a pass mark.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of this, I'm giving it a pass mark. Just this mark, sometimes we have saboteur.
Yes.
So that is just a problem. But for in terms of arms and ammunition, they are doing very well. Most especially at the Air Force, they have equipped the Air Force very well.
Okay.
You know, and the ground troops too. We are doing well. We have enough weapon, arms, and ammunition.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's actually good to hear, because generally it has always been bad news to use. When it comes to the welfare and ammunitions and all of that. But finally, Hassan,
Is there anything you wish the society and the government did better in managing military veterans and post-traumatic stress disorders, like survival?
Yes. Now, presently, what we need from the society is love.
Mm.
You understand? We need love. We need. We also need care. You know.
Okay.
We need. We need society cooperation. They should help us in terms of information.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
Even if your brother is into crime,
mm.
You understand? You should be able to open up and say, ah, my brother is having weapon at home.
How
my brother
has
friends
that
have this thing.
How easy
yeah?
is that? How easy
no, is
that?
There is a way you give that kind of information. I think it's without you being exposed
okay.
that you are the informant.
Mm.
We have way of protecting our informant. So
yeah.
you understand?
Yeah.
Because if you keep hiding him today, tomorrow you don't know what will happen to you or happen to somebody that is close to you.
Mm.
Mm. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
So we are in the box or we are like we now, like me now, I put on uniform 24 hours. People knows me as a military man.
Mm.
Now, my enemy now cannot be able to identify my enemy
yes.
because he doesn't have any means of identification.
Mm.
Tomorrow, you keep his weapon. In the evening, you go out and do whatever he wants to do, come back. When he wants to go out, I cannot see him. Even if he goes out to go and commit crime and come back, he can come back and sit with me. But somebody is called civilian that is with him can be able to say, ah, oh, God, this person who.
Mm.
It's moving. You understand? You
yeah.
have one or two things to say about the person. You know, with that, you are helping the military.
Oh.
You understand? You are helping the police
mm.
for giving them information. You know, as for those ones that have been affected in the battlefield,
mm.
the only thing they need is the government should help them. You know, motivate them, give them their welfare.
Mm.
Anything that be them. That will keep them living, you know. The government should just try and say, okay, look at this one, think. Somebody will not go to war with, he lost his arm or he lost his leg, you understand?
Mm.
And then he comes undergoing a medical everything. His family will still be the one going out to go and look for medication. But sometimes they will not even have money to buy drugs for them.
Wow.
But by the time his wife, and I have 4 or 6 kids in self-contained.
Mm.
So you know that you are growing up, you've been to war, you spent 2 years there, you come back injured, you are in the hospital, nobody is coming to check up on you, nobody is taking care of you. Government is not even doing anything. Money that you save, you use it on your own self to treat yourself. Before you know it, BP keeps coming up, you know.
Yeah.
Before you understand, the person has giving up because of what? There is no any, they've not showed him care, they've not showed him any love,
mm.
no any concern from the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So government should just try in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are not saying they should be backing up with money.
Mm.
You understand? But those are the things that motivate men.
Mm.
You know, by the time you give men what they need,
yes.
their allowances, you know, their welfare,
mm.
everybody will be lobbied to go for operation. You
yeah.
know? There are operations that people, when people hear that they want to go for that operation, no matter how hot that place is, but because of the welfare, you see people are lobbying. I want
mm.
to go, put my name, let me go. Because he will even, issue of death will not even come to his mind, sir. But it's our welfare. You understand? That what you go and get in that place, that will work.
Yeah.
That will work.
But now, Hassan, sorry for, I know I said I was going to ask you the last question, but you know what you just said now brought something to my mind. With the type of officers we have now, I know, of course, definitely motivation is very important, but now,
yeah.
do you think it's a matter of defending the country or the matter of just surviving as a Nigerian,
yes.
that people, you know, would want to get into the armed forces these days.
please, can you come again with that question?
Okay, I said in view of, you know, I know that it's very important, the social welfare, the money and all of that, I mean, the welfare package and all of that is very important.
Yes.
But
yes,
when it comes to joining the military these days, do you think it's more of the honor of defending one's country or the welfare package?
Before I joined the Navy, I spent all my life in the barracks. I knew that there is no money in the military like the way it was before, during the military era.
Okay.
I know how they are suffering. I know how they are struggling with their families. I know how their accommodation issue is.
Yes.
You will see a man with his wife and like 4 or 6 kids in self-contained. So you know that you are growing up now, you don't want to live that kind of life.
Yes.
Now, with all that, but because of the love and the passion I have for the job, I still joined.
Okay.
I joined the job, they were paying me 27,000 naira when I joined. Now, it's not because of me. I joined the job when Niger Delta is still hot, before Yar'Adua gave them amnesty.
Wow.
Now, I knew joining the Navy that time, it's a week. It took me, I went to Delta, that is Delta State. I was going to creek, from creek to creek, offshore, come back, onshore, the same thing. All those sea pirates, the militants, and bunkers, we were just battling. People are dying, prisoners are dying every day. Now, we still join. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
And we join and we know what is at stake. You understand?
Yes.
Now, if not because of Boko Haram, I don't think Nigeria will have any issue that will be packing for now, because before it is not Boko Haram, before it was militancy.
Yes.
Now it is Boko Haram. And even the Boko Haram say it's not everybody that goes to Boko Haram, except sometimes if you are a special force, they will take you there. But maybe how do they coordinate their own thing? Every year they take like 200 to the degree. Then after that year they change, they bring another set like that. That is how they change. People will go and come back. And if you can apply that kind of method, I think it will help them a lot. Okay. You cannot carry somebody and go and keep in the battlefield, and that person will spend 4 years, 3 years without seeing his family.
Wow.
Some of them, they will die, and then nobody will hear about them.
Wow.
So you understand?
Yeah.
Now, some boys, some people that are joining the job, they join the job because of the welfare. Some of them, they have 1 or 2 business they are doing outside, but they want to join the job so that they can use it to cover up their business. And then when they come into the job, then they will start selecting where they want to work, where they want to go to. So that it's not their primary duty. Defending the country. You understand?
Yeah.
Some of them are the exact business that they want to use the uniform to be protective. That is their main aim. That is their primary aim of joining the service. And that is we are having problems with civilians, because some of them don't even have what it takes to interact with civilians outside. Now, you will see somebody that they will just take somewhere now. He wants to show civilians that he's a military man.
Yes.
The next thing, he start bullying them, you know. And then, with that, maybe we don't have that kind of character, you know. Automatically, they see us as same thing.
Yes, one bad
egg. Them now, soldiers. One egg, yes, one bad egg. So, now them and our soldiers, you know, like that. So, but now they are still trying to see how they can reduce that the rate of all those negative services. You know? And we are still battling with them. So, it's not because of the issue of the welfare, but sometimes, you know, even with the welfare too, at least it's something that we need to do. You need to look good, you need to eat, you need to take care of your people like
Definitely.
So,
I mean, the issue idea of welfare cannot be overemphasized, especially when it comes to military, because
issue of welfare is not like the way it was before.
Mm.
Yes, but we pay for better government, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, because the issue of security.
Yeah.
You can't tell how your tomorrow is going to be. So as I'm talking to you now, by the end of this call, and just come, where are you? Come to the beach, go to Amory, you are going somewhere. I might go to that place, I will not come back.
God forbid.
So that is how it is. You understand? Mm. We have so many people that they just call, come and go here and come back. They went and they never came back.
Well, thank you so much, Hassan. It's been a wonderful time talking with you.
You're welcome.
We are praying you long life. We are praying you God's protection field. And we also pray for your colleagues as well.
It was a great honor to have Hassan on the show with me today, this evening. Well, you've heard it all from one of our gallant men in the armed forces. They are fighting a faceless war. It's like shooting blindly at a target with an unknown location. Please show love, care, and honor to our military men and women. Do not hide an enemy of the state. If you hide them today, they destroy you tomorrow. It's been an amazing time with you on the show this evening. Please go ahead and download this episode and hit the follow button so you do not get to miss any of our healthy episodes and content. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Anchor. Invite your family, friends, and foes to join us on these platforms, and also join our Facebook group at Strip Talk with Simiolua for updates and more healthy content. That is Strip Talk with Simiolua. Till I come your way same time next week with yet another interesting episode, my dear friends, keep well.